Good evening, guys. My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here at Mosaic, and glad to be here tonight. I don't know where we find you tonight, but isn't it good to be able to come to a space like this and to gather together with other people who are rowing in the direction of Jesus? Because I don't know what you find outside these walls, but oftentimes what I find is sometimes I feel like in neighborhood or places where I frequent, and I know from working many jobs outside the church in my life, that when we go outside these walls, that what we find is that not everybody wants what God wants for them. So sometimes we may be the only one in that space. And so it's good to come to spaces like this and to be reminded we're not alone. There are other people that believe and are passionate about the things of Jesus. And so I hope that that encourages you tonight as we have dug in and we've sang songs to and about Jesus. We're opening up scripture and we're doing that together in community. And God has designed that to be an encouragement to us, to encourage each other all the more as we see that day approaching. So that's what we're going to do tonight. So for the past few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be a disciple. Of Jesus, right? And as we break that down, it seems pretty simple at first, because back in the day when Jesus was on this planet roaming around in flesh and blood, there was a rabbinical culture that existed back in that day. And as we've been diving into this series, what we have seen is that those rabbis had a particular way or a yoke about them, right? That they would, in these spaces, they would have disciples or students that would follow them. Then that rabbi would just kind of share their way, their yoke. And that yoke or way involved a couple things. It was their rhythm of life, and then it was also some truth, a take on something that was different, Father. And so they dove into those things, those rhythms, and those disciples, students would then follow that rabbi, watch what they were doing, just kind of stay right on their heels, kind of lay there. That guy was doing that they wanted to follow. And then that truth was unleashed. And then they would see what it looked like to connect with God in a different way, just a different way of doing things. And so all of that going on and everything about your life was about jettisoning your old way of life and then say, hey, man, I want to follow this rabbi. Whatever he does, whatever he thinks, how he responds to God, that's the way that I want to do it. Then Jesus rolls onto the scene, right? And he launches out this incredible statement. And check this out. If you have your Bible, you can open up to Matthew chapter 11. It's going to be pretty quick, and then we'll move on into the book of John, and then we'll flip over to another book here in just a sec. But look at what Jesus launched out in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my way. This is what I want for you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, I don't know how that hits you, but that is so countercultural. That was so different than any rabbi had ever launched out. That was refreshing back then. It has traveled thousands of years. It is still transformational today, and it's going to continue to be that way, because as we go through life in this world, it's jacked up. There's so much stuff out there that beats us down. We get so heavy. Everything feels so burdensome. And Jesus says, hey, come to me. If you're feeling like life is heavy, if you feel like things are out of control, if you feel like you can't handle what's out there, guess what? You can walk with me. My way is light. My way brings life. My way offers freedom. And that's a rabbinical statement that he launched out there. This is his way. And so during this series, this spiritual life, we have launched out there what it looks like to follow in the way of Jesus. What does his yoke look like? And we've broken that down into some things. What were his, and we talked about it some more in week two. His rhythm was, he was always on mission, right? Wherever he was, whatever he was doing, he was either proclaiming or demonstrating the gospel to whoever was there, constantly on the move, making sure that happening in community. He had people around him, whether it was large crowds and then breaking that down into smaller crowds, breaking that down into the 12, constantly engaging in truth and then watching others preach and receive the gospel. constantly going on in that rhythm. Then we also saw that he was abiding in his heavenly Father, that he got away from all of the stuff going on in this world, and he pulled away from that, and he found solitude with his heavenly Father. He engaged in deep relationship with God the Father. And then we've learned about his truth, which we have right here. In the blue Bible sitting in our seats, from cover to cover, we can learn about the truths of God. And he unleashed those and broke those down so that we could understand and we could learn his way. And so we've concluded in this entire series that this spiritual life, as we break it down, it's taking on the rhythm and the truth, the yoke, the way of our Rabbi Jesus. That's what we want more than anything. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. When we think back to when people, disciples, students were following their rabbi, they were with them, right? They were in close proximity to that rabbi. They were walking with him and engaging in life with them. So here we are in 2019, and we're saying that this spiritual life, it revolves around the way of our Rabbi Jesus. Here's the problem. We're 2,000 years late to the dance. He's not here. Right? Where, when we look around, it's like, well, I don't see Jesus. So how in the world are we, 2,000 years later, supposed to follow a rabbi in his way when we can't lay eyes on him? When we can't track with him physically to watch his rhythms, to engage with him as he's teaching the truth? How do we do that in a way that is impactful for us? Because really all we got is the scripture where we can emulate maybe what the early followers did. And we're like, well, I guess I can try to do what Peter did. And the early disciples, it seems like that's what they did. So maybe I could try that shoe on and run in it and see if it fits. But that, I don't think, is the answer there. I don't think that that's the answer. I mean, enter in the great reality of Scripture. Because check this out. If you want to flip over to John chapter 16, Jesus is getting ready to unleash some incredible truth that is so transformational. In John chapter 16, starting in verse 1, look at what Jesus says. He says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. He recognizes that life is about to get hard for them because in the earlier chapters of John, he tells them, hey guys, I'm getting ready to go and where I'm going, you can't go. And they're like, well, I thought you were a rabbi. We're supposed to follow you. Yeah, but you can't go there. And so I'm telling you these things so that you don't fall away. Verse 2, they will put you out of synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. So in your following, I'm telling you things like this because you know it's about to get so hard that they're going to actually kick you out of the church for talking about the things of God. And then what's going to happen is they're actually going to think they're doing the world a favor by taking you out. You're no more. You're gone here. And so they think, man, we just did the world a great favor by getting rid of those people who are talking about following the ways of God. Nor me, but I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And then verse 7, this one's insane. When I read this, I'm like, I don't know. We'll take an informal poll here in just a second. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. What? Like, all right, just a show of hands. Who in here would say that it is to our advantage, to your advantage, it would be beneficial for you to have Jesus in the flesh here right now? Who would say, I want that? That would be incredible. All right, everybody should be raising their hands because this would be awesome. I want to see Jesus more than anybody. I hope that that's your truth as well. But here's the deal. Like, wouldn't it be incredible to have him preaching the sermon tonight? He would kill it. It would be amazing, way better than my Bible. It would be all so amazing. It would be mind-blowing, life-changing. But how would we feel like if we had access to Jesus after the gathering here. You could go ask him questions. No more like speculation, all these things that are going on in your head. Am I supposed to take that job? Am I supposed to move here? What do I do with this? How do I go here? What do you want next for me? You don't even have to wonder, because you can go face to face and not just pray and ask God and try to discern, but actually hear from the mouth of God, here's what I want you to do. Would that not be advantageous for us? That would be incredible. That would be awesome. But that would be true of you and about 7 billion other people on the planet. Everybody would want to get in that line, say, I have some things that I've got to know. And from what I can gather, that guy knows it. And he offers wisdom, he offers truth, and pretty much everything that he tells everybody, and they go do it, it's awesome for them. Things go really well. Now, it doesn't mean that it's always good, but it actually is what is best for them. It's always right. It's always good. It's always pure. It's always excellent, always praiseworthy. All of that stuff, that's what's going to roll out of there. So you and about 7 billion other people are going to want that, which means now you got to wonder, where am I at in the line? How long is it going to take me to get there? Because Jesus in flesh form is not available 24/7, 365 to us, is he? He's not there for us all the time. Now, he would love to be, but in God's kindness, his mercy, his justice, he unfolds a plan. Go back to verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now skip down to verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now look at this, verse 14. He will glorify me, for he, Father, has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare. It's so transformational, so different than anything that we've ever experienced. So here we have God the Father sends God the Son, who while he's here on this planet says, I am the way, the truth, the life. So he is not this list of things that you go do and then you follow. He is the way. He is the one we come to. We don't do things to get him. We go to him. And then he is the one that leads us in a way that changes us. So then he invites us to follow him. Then he leaves. And then he sends the Helper. And the Helper being the Holy Spirit. And check out what the Holy Spirit delivers to each of us that are followers. What it said right here in John 16 is, all that that God the Father has, everything that is his, he gave to God the Son. Now God the Son has taken what he has been given, which is everything, and he has now shared it with God the Holy Spirit, who then comes to us and gives us these things that will then lead us to follow him, who then brings glory to God the Father through following God the Son, and then it points back to God, who then gives all that he has to God the Son, who then gives all that he has to God the Holy Spirit, who takes what he has to give us to give all that to us so that we track with him, so that we follow Jesus, so that he gets the glory, and on and on and on you go, and it just keeps going like that forever and ever and ever. And here's the bonus in all of that. So while we may not have Jesus in flesh form here, 24/7, 365, we have a rabbi in the Holy Spirit, because when Jesus had said this, remember when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Well, if we've seen him, we've also seen the Spirit. Because the Spirit is coming, he is manifesting himself in our lives to draw us into relationship with Jesus, which then brings glory to God the Father. And he is available to us as followers of Jesus 24/7, 365 days a year. So it actually is to our advantage that Jesus left, because he sent us the Helper. Now, what we're about to dig into is so transformational, and feel like, hey, I think I understand this better. It gets even bigger, and then it's like, oh, it's even better than I thought. And then this week, as a pastor, here's what I'm thinking. And then somebody else would come in with, hey, but what about this? And, oh, did you see this? And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And right about the time we thought we had our hands on, it's like, oh, I found something else. Check this out. And it has been so transformational for us and just so mind-blowing for us that what I'm about to launch out, we're not experts on, but we're growing in it. And I think it's going to help us as a church to begin to understand who the Holy Spirit is, what it looks like to walk in the way of Jesus so that God the Father gets glory and his kingdom expands and we get to experience him like never before. And these are ripple effects that will go in through the rest of this year, 2019, into 2020 as we're studying Ephesians, and that we will grow as a church and learn to relate to our Heavenly Father as we get to walk with the Spirit of God. So let's go over to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll spend the rest of our time in that. Galatians 5 is on page 1077 if you're using one of Mosaic's Bibles. Now check this out. So here we are in Galatians 5, and in verse 1 of chapter 5, look at what Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So he writes this letter to the Galatian church, and this is the first letter that we have of Paul that has made its way out in circulation, shows up at the church in Galatia, and he had been there, preached the gospel to them, told them what it looked like to enter into a faith relationship with Jesus, and he basically spelled it out to them where they understood it's Jesus and only Jesus, not Jesus plus anything. Now, what had happened is when Paul left, then some people called Judaizers came in, and what happened is they began teaching a different gospel. They said, "We understand this whole Jesus thing, that's awesome, but in order to follow him, you have to become a Jew. And so here's how this is going to work. You're not Jewish now, so what you need to do is it's Jesus plus circumcision and Jesus plus the law. This is how you're going to follow him." And then the Galatians took it hook, line, and sinker. They're like, okay, well, I guess that's what we're going to do. They lined up to get circumcision. They lined up to follow the law. And they forgot the message of the gospel, which was Jesus, only Jesus, faith in him. Don't add anything to it. Now they're adding to it, saying circumcision and the law. And he says, no. And if you read the book of Galatians, he starts out the letter like this: "You foolish Galatians. How could you go back to what I told you that it's not Jesus plus anything? It's only Jesus." And he calls them foolish and he says, man, you need to come back. You need to come back into relationship with God. And so he was offering them freedom in Christ, and they were settling for something less than what God had for them. And then we see in that really there are few options when it comes to a faith. Right, so there are things that we can do to try to enter into a right relationship with God. He would say one way would be the law. You can stand over here and try to do all of the things that the law lists. These are the things you're supposed to do. These are the things you're not supposed to do. Check those boxes. You can live in that space and try really hard to try to live those things out. And if you happen to have traction in some of those things, it produces in you a self-righteousness. And oh, by the way, good luck. Good luck trying to pull that off. If you're going to do all the right things to put yourself in a right relationship with God, then it just doesn't go well for you because you cannot live up to that. The law is a weight over you. It's a heavy burden. You cannot carry it. And the law is actually in its finest place and an avenue that God uses to point you to your need for a Savior because you cannot pull that off. So Paul's saying, no, don't live under that yoke. He said it right there. Don't go back to the yoke of slavery. Get out of that one. But then there's on the other side of the spectrum, it'd be like lawlessness. It's like, okay, well, if that's the law, then I'm going to live over here and just kind of do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. That too is a yoke of slavery that will not bring us life, that does not offer us freedom. That is clear. There is a different way. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 now. Peel down to the bottom of the page. And Paul says this: "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not be over here in lawlessness. You won't do that. You recognize that that will not be good for you. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law either. So it's not the law, it's not lawlessness, but he invites us to this new way, this way of walking with the spirit. And then we have this battle raging in us, and we felt this, right? How many times have you felt you're like, I want to do that. I want to see that. I want to watch that. I want to say this. And you're like, I'm not supposed to, but everything in you wants to do that. And the Spirit's going, no, you don't want that. And then how many times have there been things where you're like, I feel like the Spirit wants me to say this. I feel like he wants me to engage in this. I feel like this is what it looks to follow. And your flesh is like, no, don't do that. Like there's a war going on, and that's why we go back to verse 16, and we see something incredible that God is walking us into. He says, walk by the Spirit, that we walk with him. We lean into him. We depend on him, and his, the helper, has been given to us because God the Father took everything that he had, gave it to God the Son. God the Son then gives it to God the Spirit, who then takes his power and all things available to him to point us back to the way which then God the Father is glorified. We see that pattern over and over and over again. It's not performing for the law. It's not trying to figure things out and just trying to do everything we want, not giving into lawlessness. We've been invited to follow Jesus, and what he has available to him has been made known to the Spirit, who will lead us to follow in that way. And our work becomes clearer. And here's where it gets really good. Because we've been in churches and we've heard different ways that we can connect with God, what it looks like for us to have some traction in our spiritual lives, right? And here's often what it looks like. We have this list of things over here, or these behaviors of ways that we should obey, or a list of things that we should not do. And so we look at these things. Okay, here's what it looks like to obey. Here's things that I'm not supposed to do. And then we go to God and we say, all right, God, there's all this stuff over here. I can tell that this is of you. So will you help me in that space? And then when we see some traction, we start to step into obedience. We feel like we're getting closer to God because we see some traction. And then we see the fruit erupt from there, right? So there's things we should obey. We go and we ask God for help. We feel like there's traction, and then fruit appears and we're like, man, this is great. This is great. I feel better here. And then we hit wash, rinse, repeat, slide different things about what it looks like to obey or what it looks like to step away from things. But guys, I'm telling you, that sounds great. And it's like, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that good? Doesn't that produce life change? I mean, there's probably some of us who have engaged in that thing and we've seen some movement in our life. But I'm willing to bet that most of us in here, we read things in the Bible and we see things happen that would be associated with the Holy Spirit. And we know what he's capable of, but we don't often see that. And so there's something missing, right? We're like, what? Why do I not see things going down that are just supernatural, that are crazy amazing all the time? Why isn't that happening more? Because there's a better way, a way that God has put into motion that I'm really trying to grasp. I'm like, what does this look like? How do we actually engage in this? How does this look for us? Let's keep going here in Galatians 5. Let's go into verse 19. Now, he says, the works of the flesh are evident. And then he gives us a laundry list of crazy: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness. And you're like, warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is this crazy list of things that you're like, wow, what is all of that, right? These are the things that I think we want. And that's how we know that we're not in step with the Holy Spirit, that we're not going stride for stride. There's stuff on there about sex. There's stuff on there in religion, addiction. And just in case we miss something, I love what he puts there in verse 21. It's like, and things like these, which is like an asterisk. It's like, I didn't write everything down, so don't you go out of here thinking you've got some holy swagger that you can live in because he didn't call you out. Like, wow, I don't struggle with that one. I don't, nothing in there about me. Well, he just said things like these, so we know that somewhere in there that we're guilty, right? We're capable of some crazy stuff when it comes down to it. And so even though he didn't call it out, it's there, things like these. And then he continues on. So that's the way of lawlessness. And then he goes here to verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. None. You're not under the law because all of those say, then those things are evidences of his work in us. That's what's going on. A quick look at that, and we see that these are evidences of his work, and it leads us to a greater dependency. It's not us striving after those things. It's not us trying to figure out, how am I going to be more loving? How am I going to be more patient? I know I should be self-controlled. I struggle with that. So what's that going to look like today? How am I going to get better with that? And this is huge. It's dependency. He's moving us into relationship. And here's what's huge, because if we parse all those out and we make them singular as opposed to a plural, like they're not fruits of the Spirit, they're fruit. And so they're evidence of God at work in our lives. If we were to parse them out and make them single, we could check them off as a box and say, well, I'm better at self-control today. I was loving today. I was kind today. And then we could work on those things individually, which God has not called us to do. And it would feel very much like we're following a map. You know what I mean? Like, oh, here's the next stop. But if God wanted us to have a map, he would have given us a map, but he did us one better. He didn't give us a map. He gave us himself to follow. He gave us himself. He says, no, you come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And then he sent us a helper who will lead us in the direction that we should go. And this is the direction that we should go. There it is, right there. He is inviting us to himself to walk in his way. And the result of walking with him, the payout for that, is that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We will not live under the law, but that we will walk in step with the Spirit. The fruit begins to pop up. It's like Pastor Zach was talking about earlier, that we abide in him. In John 15, we abide. We don't take a dead stick and go put it in front of our front yard and go, well, I'm going to water that. I'm going to put fertilizer on that. I'm going to pray over that. And then all of a sudden, that dead stick's going to come to life. It doesn't work that way. And you're like, oh yeah, but I need to involve community in that because that's the rhythm of Jesus. So I'm going to invite my D group over and then we're going to gather around and we'll pray for that dead stick. And maybe there will be leaves and fruit that pops out of it. No, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We have to graft that stick into the vine where the power is. And that's what the Spirit is. He is the power that is causing that fruit to move us in the direction of obedience, which is in the direction of Jesus. It's crazy how this works. And so to walk in the way of Jesus is really a paradigm shift. It's not, look at all the things we should obey and all the things we should avoid, and then we ask God for help in that, and then we feel closer to him and because we see a little bit of traction, and then fruit pops up. That is not the way that it is going to flow. To walk in the way of Jesus is different. And look at this, one more verse, and then I'll land the plane. If we live by the Spirit, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Great idea, right? Keep in step with the Spirit. You guys go do that, all right? So glad you were here tonight. Hope everything goes well for you this week. What are we supposed to do to keep in step with the Spirit? How are we supposed to do that? Let me offer you a few words and then I'll break this down. Depend and then respond. Depend, then respond. Three words right there. You see, we follow in the way of Jesus, we grow, we transform when we engage this way. This is how we begin to see the fruit of the Spirit erupt in our life. What happens is we draw near to God. We come to him and we draw near to him. We're in close proximity to him. And that is where we come to him and we depend on him to draw us into abiding. And abiding, how I'd break that down would be, we're just coming to God, and it's like, God, man, I'm here with you. And where you go, that's where I want to go. How you think, that's how I want to think. So would you make that so in me? As I walk with you, the things that you're thinking about, I want to think about. The things you're doing, I want to do. The way that you engage, I want to engage. Everything about you is what I want. And so in close proximity to you, I'm just going to follow you. I'm just going to hang out with you. I want to know you and your ways and your rhythms and your truth. Everything about you, I'm in. I'm yours. That's what I want. And then out of that relationship, out of that close proximity, over days and weeks and months and years, what happens is we change. We've been with him, and he begins to lead us in a way where we become different. And so we've been in close proximity to him, and then out of that closeness, then the fruit of the Spirit pops up. It's because that's who he is. He is loving. Spending days, weeks, months, years with him, we become loving, more patient, kind, because he will lead us in that way. The helper will point us to the way of Jesus. All these things are markers of who Jesus is, not what he does, who he is. And then in that, we bring glory to God the Father. And that all be it. So we're in close proximity. Fruit of the Spirit comes, and then that fruit empowers us to obedience. Do you see the freedom in that? How different that is from so many other places where we have heard a different story, a different way, a different engagement. It's not obey, and then we have intimacy, and then there's fruit. No, it's quite different. Now it's dependence that leads us into abiding, and there's intimacy there, and out of that intimacy, fruit develops, and then obedience follows because the fruit empowers that. It's not because we obeyed the law. It's not because we were lawless. It is simply because we are following hard after Jesus, because the Spirit will lead us in that direction. That's where we're headed. And you see, guys, our big issue tonight is not learning what we should do. It's really not that. It's not what are the right things to do. We know so much from books we've read, sermons we've heard, conferences we've been to, blogs we've read, articles, all this stuff. On and on and on you could go. I mean, we've learned so much stuff. And I would say that we're educated beyond our level of obedience. Could we all agree with that? There's so much stuff that we know, and now we just need to, like, we know that we're supposed to do that. But really, the big E on the eye chart for us tonight is, how do we do that? How do we do that? And that's what we've broken down. And I love what Pastor John Piper had to say about this. He said, what pleases God is walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and then bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Intimacy that leads to the fruit, which then fuels the obedience. It's so freeing that way, because it's God fueling all of it, drawing us in, and we just simply depend on him and then respond to his promptings moment by moment, day by day, year by year, and we will see a change. Things will be different. And could you imagine, guys, what it would look like if all of us engaged with that for the next month, that we were abiding, just close proximity to God, hanging out with our Heavenly Father, just being with him, and then seeing the fruit develop, because he wants that in us. He will develop that in us, and then that fuels obedience, which brings him great glory, and it brings us incredible joy. Could you imagine what would be different if a month from now we all engaged that way, how different the gathering would be? Could you imagine how different your D group would be? Could you imagine how different it would look in an uncommon love when you guys go out to the different parks and bless and serve and love people, because you've been with Jesus and he is developing this fruit, and there's something different about you because you're obeying in ways that the world has never seen, because it's the way of God, not the way of the law, not the way of lawlessness, not the world, not the flesh, nothing. It is simply a work of the Spirit of God. Could you imagine what would change if we engaged that way? I think there would be lasting impact. And there would be so, so much amazing life change. And we would just sit back and marvel and praise God for that. But here's the deal, guys. This all happens because we have a relationship with Jesus. It has to start there. Like, this is not stuff that exists outside of a relationship with Jesus. And so if you have come here tonight and you're like, I don't even know what it means to follow Jesus, it's my first time here, or you've been coming for a month or a year, it doesn't matter, but you're exploring what it looks like to follow Jesus, just know that there are pastors and leaders across the hall afterwards, and if you want to know what that looks like, then you can check in with them. But here's the deal, guys. Like, that all happens because we have a deep, growing relationship with Jesus. It's not something we manufacture on our own. We don't go from here trying hard where it's like, I'm going to try really hard to hang out with Jesus this week. No, he will draw you in, and then you just simply be with him. And then watch what happens as he begins to develop the fruit, and obedience becomes an amazing, amazing thing in your life. Because you know what? We get to see all that happen because we have a helper who has come to make all that God had, that he shared with the Son, that now the Spirit has, and he's helping us to move in the direction of God. So let us be a people that depend on his movement and then to respond in faith and watch him do an amazing work as he draws us in to incredible life change. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that we get to grow in this. This is something that we don't have a firm grip on. There are some things that we understand, and there are so many things that we do not yet get. And so as we dive into this deeper in 2019 and 2020 and for the years ahead, I pray that you would open our eyes to all that you're doing around us. Would you just blow us away at your mercy and your grace and your generosity of all that you are accomplishing through God the Holy Spirit, who will lead us to resemble God the Son, so that God the Father gets all of the glory, and that we would just see an amazing work and an amazing transformation happen in us, happen in our friends' lives, happen in people that do not yet know you. God, would you just sweep us up in your goodness and grace? And would you just draw us into intimacy with you? And as you do that, God, we are excited to see what you're going. Would you give in the mind to just continue to come after you, God? I pray that you would just fuel us by the power of your Spirit to know you like we've never known you before. So we wait expectantly on you, and we trust you that you will lead us to what is good and right and pure, because you want what's best for us, because you're a good Father. A loving Father who is up to so much. So now, would you awaken us to your work that we may join you in that? And we're just thankful that you have called us your own, your children. So now, as we just crawl up into your lap and get to know you, would you just wow us? Help us. We pray in the powerful and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.